Okay. Cool. Guys, I'm Kathy. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm so honored to have Amy ask me to speak with you guys today and to walk in and see, or this evening, to see familiar faces. And I gave a lot of thought to the topic of hanging in there because in November I celebrated being here for 5 years. And it has not been anywhere near perfect, but I thought I'd give you a little bit of background, and then I thought about the things. There are three things that have really enabled me to hang in there, and I thought I'd share those with you. I grew up with a mom who dieted all the time, and when I was little, I wasn't aware of, you know, body images. I know some people can think back a long ways, but the first thing I remember being conscious of my weight was being in eighth grade, and I remember my mom saying I needed to lose 5 pounds, and I was like, okay. I mean, I didn't think I needed to lose 5 pounds, but she did. So she must have helped me go on some sort of diet, and I think I lost the weight, but it's kind of vague. It's like, okay, she wanted me to do that. By the time I got to high school, my whole life was either dieting or binging. I knew no in between. I mean, either you were on a diet, and that means you didn't eat anything that was fun or good or whatever, and all potatoes, rice, all that stuff was out. And then when you weren't on a diet, you just binged your brains out because pretty soon you're going to have to go on a diet again. And that is a pattern that was established for me in high school and continued through college. And what I didn't know, I know Tom was saying he didn't know he had a food addiction. I knew, I would tell myself I'm like an alcoholic with sugar, but I didn't understand it. You know, I just knew I could keep eating it and I had some sort of a problem, but you know, I could starve myself too. So I had the whole anorexia sort of side, and I mean, I got down to 101. I think that's pretty way low. And then I was an exercise bulimic, and I didn't understand that either until coming in the rooms that you could over-exercise. You know, oh, okay, well, I didn't think if I went running, you know, I'd do that in the morning, and then I'd go walk with a friend, and then I'd go swimming, and maybe that was enough exercise for one day. But I didn't think that was abnormal at the time. That's just what I did because it kind of went in with the starving yourself, and the, you know, when I wasn't starving, then I was stuffing, I guess. So it's easy, I think, to blame our parents or whatever. And my mom was doing, you know, growing up, being a mom in the 50s and the 60s, she was the kind of mom that wasn't heavy. You know, she exercised, so she felt she was doing something good. But what was passed on to my sister and me was not good for us. But that's just how it is. You know, you do the best you can. And in being in this program and making amends, you get over it. You know, it's like, I understand now. She didn't know how that was affecting me. One of the very good things that came out of doing amends with my mom is I have a daughter, and my mom would come over and, you know, she'd eat dinner. Oh, I have to diet tomorrow. And I said, Mom, please, you know, can you not say that? And she's like, well, what am I saying? You know, and I said, every time you eat, you say, I need to go on a diet tomorrow. She had no idea. And I said, I just don't want Holly to grow up, you know, with that mindset of we're dieting. And truly, I mean, she recognized that. She has never talked. She's really changed in that way. She used to weigh herself before dinner to see how much she could eat. So, I mean, she was pretty, you know, pretty, whatever you want to call it, overboard. But that, it's probably 3 years ago, I made amends with my mom. And my relationship has changed significantly with her because I was so afraid of her judgment, of me, of my kids, of I just didn't want to tell her anything. And we've gotten to a very different stage. So in moving on, I really thought about what do we hang on to? And I'm an extremely visual person, so I'm going to have you visualize this and then we'll tie it all in. But I was thinking of a well, you know, if you can just envision the deepest well of you know, water is life-giving to all of us, and the water that we get from our higher power, it's like that life-giving water that's available in this well to us. Well, when you think about cranking down the bucket and the rope that you hang on to, that's what I thought of when I was thinking about what can we hang on to in this program, especially at this time of the holidays, when it's extremely hard for a lot of us, you know, in the holiday season. So the very first thing I thought of is meetings. When I came into OA 5 years ago, I was going to 3 meetings a week, and I couldn't make it without going to 3 meetings. I went to the Saturday meeting, I went to the Tuesday meeting, and I went to the Thursday meeting, and it kept me in the presence of all of you, you know, to connect to know that I could go and hear my own story, that what you were saying was my life, that there were other people that ate food out of the trash, that stole food, that ate food off the floor, that overate, that had the same behaviors, addictions that I had, and that was unbelievably comforting to be in a room with people and truly like that thing that we never read because it's too long, that welcome home. It's like, oh, don't read that one. But I felt at home. And I was thinking this last week, sitting in the meeting, in the Tuesday meeting, I thought, these people are like me. You know, I do not have a normal relationship with food at all. I mean, I have friends, they just eat like a normal person. Like, they don't go in the closet and eat more, and they're not hiding food places. I mean, they don't do it. And I have no conception of that because my relationship with food is very abnormal. So meetings are one of the things that I use to hang on that rope. They nourish me. They fill me up because you guys fill me up by going to a meeting. And I also hear when people leave the program, and then they say, you know, why did I do that? I stopped going to meetings. I don't think of not going to meetings. I mean, Tuesday, it's like written in stone unless, you know, I'm working and I can't go. I go to the Tuesday meeting. Now, I don't go to as many meetings now. I try to do this once a week. I spend more time with my family on Saturday mornings. Sometimes I go to Saturday. But the meetings are one way that I hang on. The second way that I hang on is to my sponsor. And I probably was in the program just a few weeks before I found a sponsor. I was listening to people as they shared. I knew I wanted to change my life. I knew I needed to work the steps, and I knew I needed a sponsor. So I think sponsorship, I couldn't do it without a sponsor. I suck at OA calls, okay? I do not do that well. The only one I really do call consistently is my sponsor, and I call her almost every day. I don't call her on the weekends, but I touch base with her. Occasionally I text her, but I really do call. I call and talk to her. I do a step a month, so I'm working the steps each month. We meet at the end of every month, and she has me read the AA. Well, I've kind of created, this isn't the third time through the steps for me. So I create a program for the year and talk to her about it, and then we obviously do that together when I meet with her. So this year, I'm reading the AA step of the month. She really is big time on the AA, was the founder for us, and I love that book. That OA 12 and 12, if you guys don't have oh my gosh, that is divinely guided. I mean, you read that book and it's straight from God, in my opinion. So the AA 12 and 12, the OA 12 and 12, and then what I did this year is I divided the big book up into 12 sections because I don't read that very well. I thought, you know, I haven't really read this whole big book. And so it's easy. It's like 50 pages for the whole month. And so I just read a section of the big book, and then I take little notes, and when I meet her at the end of the month, I talk about it. So I don't do those OA calls very well, but I hang on to her. I hang on, you know, and she feeds me. It's like she nourishes me. And that's the second way I hang on. And the third way is really the most important way that for me is my connection to God and my whole spiritual life because of this program is an amazing thing and something that would have, I don't think, ever happened if I hadn't come to the program. I have created a place in my home that's a little prayer place. It's just a chair. I mean, it can be a place on the floor, but I have quiet time in the morning. I have quiet time in the afternoon. And that connection to God, and I really think of God is that deep well for me. And I cannot live without the water that comes from that well. And this program shows us how to live life. And I'd never made amends. I'd never written down every single horrible thing I'd done in my whole life when we do it with a four-step and told it to my sponsor and, you know, gave it away to God. You know, it's a pretty cool thing when you screw up, which I do all the time, and think, I need to make amends, and then not want to, but know that you have to, and know that I want to be a better person. I mean, I am way too judgmental. I'm impatient. I would love it if I could tell all of you what to do, and you do it my way. Because then, I mean, that's the easiest thing. I think I'm way too much of a control freak, and this program has taught me how to be kinder and how to be a better listener and how to not do it my way and how to give it over to God. Not that I do that perfectly. I am trying that all day long, and I'm always trying to take the reins back and not let God take over, but I wouldn't have anything if I did not have that relationship with God. So I am hanging on to him, and that rope's going down and pulling up that water, and I wouldn't be alive without it. So I love that topic of hanging on, and I thought of what I tell myself when you want it your way and you realize, no, I'm just in charge of myself, and you guys all know these expressions. You know, you got to stay on your side of the street and tend your own garden, and I always want to be messing with everybody else. And I think if we kind of close with this thought of, on bended knee, I bend my will to you. And truly, I get down on my knees. And it's a powerful thing when you're down on your knees and I put my head on the floor and I say the things that I'm grateful for and I ask God what his will for me is today and I try to give it over. I don't do a good job, but I try. So I just think that going into the holidays, if we can remember to hang on to our meetings and our sponsors, or get a sponsor if you don't have a sponsor, and you better hang on tight to God, because in my opinion, I couldn't have made it without God. So thanks. Thanks, Amy, for inviting me, and that was fun to be able to be a part of this.